Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Instigators with Pauly D and Chris Kotsopoulos.
Oh, here we go.
That's a bunch of garbage.
And it's being proven right now.
Oh, absolutely. I was a staunch defender of that.
You know, if he doesn't stand on his head in the second period, we don't have a chance.
What a save by Lundqvist! But Henrik! Why not? That's the chance, and that's the reason why.
Fans are really, really knowledgeable on that, and I'm very impressed with that. If that's anybody else but Alex Ovechkin, that's an automatic suspension.
With this specific player, if he doesn't get 10 games or more, it's a disgrace in the face of the NHL.
Welcome to the Instigators Hockey Show. I'm Pauly D. He's former NHL defenseman Chris Kotsopoulos. Tonight, tonight's topics obviously are going to be the playoffs. The final four here, we're going to talk about, we'll break down both the Chicago, Anaheim, and the New York Rangers and the Tampa Bay Lightning series. Of course, we'll give you our full analysis on the New York Rangers and moving forward. We're going to do everything right here, right now, on the Instigators Hockey Show. Make sure you check out ChrisKotsopoulos.com. It's located in the link section of the show page. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And if you have a question or comment for the show, like to advertise with us, shoot us an email at theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. And if you need a website design or a page lift, Cotsy's Designs. Cody offers website and blog designs, creation of logos, letter marks, combination marks, advertisement flyers, and a lot more. For more details and contact information, go to Cotsy'sDesigns.com. Follow the link located in the link section of the show page. And, of course, shout out to Pasco County I-9 Sports, an experience beyond the game. Lot to do, lot to talk about. A couple of little headlines we're going to touch on quickly before we get to the breakdowns of these two series. But a couple of interesting things happened this week. Kotz Dalsma becomes the Sabres coach at DeBoer. Heads out to San Jose. Give us your thoughts on that.
Well, I'm going to give you an A and an F, honestly. And the A is going to go to Buffalo picking up Bausma. I think it's a good deal for them. You know, they got a new owner a few years ago. He's trying to rebuild that organization from the ground up. Put a lot of money into it, and Bausma, you know, was really getting paid vacation from Pittsburgh until the end of this summer. So. You know, he's a former Stanley Cup winning coach. I think he's the right fit there in Buffalo, and I think the Buffalo Sabres should be pretty happy picking up a coach like him. From what I do know a little about him from one of the assistant coaches in Quinnipiac, Reed Cashman, who actually played under him in Wilkes-Barre a few years ago, and he knows, he says he's a very intelligent guy, good guy, and he's a good coach. So I think Buffalo gets an A on my report card, but. You know, now we're going to go over to San Jose, the team that could never get past that big hump over there, and they get rid of McClellan, they fire him, and they hire Peter DeBoer. I mean, it looks like it's all done, right? Isn't it? I mean, it's pretty much done that he's going to be the next coach, I think, of the San Jose Sharks. And I'm, you know, nothing against the guy, but this is a big F to me. I mean. I give him an F with San Jose on this one. I mean, he kind of revived Florida there for a little while, and then he, you know, got canned, you know, after, what, like 2-3 years there, I think. And then he comes to Jersey and didn't do a really good job in Jersey either. So now you're going out to San Jose. I guess in a way for him, he's kind of hiding away from the world out there on the West Coast, but I have no idea what San Jose is doing with that organization, Pauly, because you go back to their history. They've choked time and time again over the last probably six, seven years. You know, you strip the captaincy and the assistants off your, you know, main players on the team before the season started last year. So I have no idea what they're doing out in San Jose, but I'll say good luck to Peter DeBoer, but I don't think it's a good move at all.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you on that. Not sure. I mean, we've talked.
It's that recycling crap all over again, Paulie. You know, it's funny. Like you and I have talked about, I know I'm interrupting here, but I have to get this in. It's funny how coaches can be fired because they didn't get the job done. The fans think they're jerk-offs, blah, 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 blah. And yet they get rehired somewhere down the line somewhere. And same thing with Hitchcock. Hitchcock gets rehired for another year. He signs another year in St. Louis, right? And he's got a great regular season record with the St. Louis Blues, but his playoff record is pitiful. It's awful. It's like one of the worst I've seen. And yet they give him another year. So it's all the recycling. I guess it's not just about plastics in this world. It's about coaches, too. Go ahead.
Yeah,
you can get your point in.
Yeah, I got to make this comment. I mean, I'm surprised Bousinel went to Buffalo. And I think, like you said, I think the paycheck's pretty damn good. But, you know, like you said, I mean, he's got a Stanley Cup. I mean, you know, he's coached some pretty good players. I mean, that's a complete rebuild over there in Buffalo. They're not going to see immediate effects right away. So, and as far as, you know, DeBoer goes, I mean, honestly, the guy's done nothing. And the whole situation, as we've talked year after year, season after season, about San Jose, about the ups and the downs, and, you know, they look like a great team, and then all of a sudden, they soil the sheets year after year. It seems to be notorious for that club. So, it's gonna be interesting to see, because something has to get done in San Jose, no doubt about it. I mean, the Sabres, it's a long haul type of thing, you know. But San Jose, it's been expected for a long time, and it's yet to come. So, I definitely don't disagree with you. I think that's a big F as far as the hiring there, because, you know,
your teams are your top players there are getting older, like, you know, Fortin and et cetera. You know what I mean? And you know, unless he's getting some kind of guarantee from general manager and ownership that, you know, that he's going to get 3 years to build it or get it back to where it's a threat again, I can see that. But I don't know. It's the same old thing, Paul. Nothing changes. You know, this could be 1952 and it'd be the same thing with 6-team league. You know, if a coach gets fired, he gets hired somewhere else. So it's the way it goes. I mean, and where's McClellan? McClellan ended up somewhere too, didn't he?
I'm pretty sure he did. I don't know.
Think of it. I think it was before all this happened, I think. But
he got hired last week sometime. Last week sometime. It wasn't in New Jersey, though.
Who is
it?
Get on your computer. Find out. I can't remember.
It wasn't New Jersey, right?
I don't remember.
We'll have to find that out as
we go on the show. Yeah, I mean, it's a carousel of coaches here, though, Paulie. You know what I mean? It's a carousel big time. It always happens.
Let's see here. Let me check the news for the last couple of weeks here.
It happened like a week ago, and I'm trying to think. Was it Boston?
No.
No, I can't even remember. But anyhow, it's I'm looking at it this way. It's a new group of guys, but they've been recycled already a couple times. So, it's the way it goes in the NHL these days. I guess it's about who you know and who's a GM and an owner and some other organization, and they'll take a shot on you in your second or third try. So, that's the way it goes.
All right, let's do this real quick, and I'm going to scan through here, and I'll find it. This date in hockey history, May 28th, 1981, Gene Ritel announced his retirement from the NHL.
Well, what day was that again?
And May 28, 1995, Paul Coffey passed Dennis Poppin to become the highest scoring defenseman in NHL playoff history. Hit a goal and assist in the regular 6-2 win over, guess who? San Jose. Gave him 166 career points. Gave the Wings their four-game sweep over San Jose. And May 28, 2003, Patrick Roy announced his retirement after 18 NHL seasons with the Canadiens and Colorado Avalanche. He retired as the NHL's all-time leader, 1,029 regular season games and 551 wins, 247 Stanley Cup games, 151 playoff victories, and 20 playoff shutouts. That's a mouthful. And that's the state.
Yeah, that Patrick Roy, what a guy, that Patrick Roy.
you love that, don't you?
It's the stuff that people don't remember. That's my point. Nobody remembers. First broke in, it was Roy.
Why can't I find McClellan? Because I know he did get hired somewhere.
Yeah, whatever. But I'm, you know, it's still one of those things. Again, I'm just repeating myself now. But it's all about the coaching carousel and stuff like that. So I'm not worried about it. But I will say this: it was a pleasure to play against Jean Rattel at least for 1 year in my career. In my first year with the Rangers, he was in Boston. A lot of guys that I know on the Rangers that I played with him in the early 70s and stuff like that, and say what a great gentleman and a great player he was. So I had a chance to play against him, and I was a Bruin fan up until I turned pro, you know what I mean? So he played well with the Rangers, and he played well with the Boston Bruins, but I didn't know that he retired right after that season. That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not having any luck right now, so I'll try and dig it up throughout the show. So, I mean, obviously, let's talk about the real important stuff here. I don't know what else to say, but I will say this. This has been, these last four teams, this has been some crazy, crazy hockey. It's been some crazy, crazy hockey. I thought at one point in this Anaheim-Chicago series, there was times where Anaheim has just dominated and forced its will, and there's been other times where, you know, Chicago has just bounced back and found a way to win no matter what. I mean, they're like a cockroach, man. You can step on the thing and, you know, you think it's dead, and here it comes just running after you. I tell you what, this has been a great, great, great series to watch as a fan, as not a fan of either one of these teams. And, you know, and last night was a thriller, too. I mean, Chicago goes up early, just scoring goals at will, and then sure enough, Anaheim wills himself back in the game, and then, you know, late in the game. But I got to tell you, Coffey, Chicago has shown their pedigree in this series. They have shown that they know what it takes to win. You cannot count this team down or out, and they can lose a game and come back the next night and give you hell.
Yeah, well, I kind of picked them, I think, all the way through there when we were doing our little cheap picks. But, you know, even if they lose the series, against Anaheim, I think they've done well. I mean, they showed up and they bounced back every time. And you look at their team, Paulie. It's you got Kane, you got Taze, you got Sharp. But look who's doing the score. They're so loaded, realistically, and guys that can actually create offense, like Shaw scoring the fourth goal last night. Brendan Saad or whatever his name is, Saad. I mean, another guy. You know, Vermette actually waking up a little bit in this series. I mean. And Anaheim's like, you know, again, they're a big, strong team. And, you know, I do notice one thing about them that I got to point out. And he's a great player, don't get me wrong. But Ryan Getzlaf every now and then has a little Alex Ovechkin in him about playing defense. I mean, did you see him last night? Like, the back check on Shaw was just horrible, I thought. Everybody said he's right there. I mean, the guy's 30 pounds lighter than you, and you let him beat you to the puck. And the pass he made that created one of the goals, too, yesterday. We're off the board, so he's 15 feet from the board. So every now and then he has a little bit of a, I don't know, what do you want to call it? His brain just kind of, like, goes to sleep for a few seconds. And it looks like he gets a little lazy out there once in a while. But, yeah, it's going to be tough for Chicago to win in Anaheim. But you know what, Paulie? The NHL's got what they wanted. They got a seventh game in the West. And they got a seventh game in the East. And I think deep down you got to tip your hat to the teams making it exciting this year. So I don't think anybody can complain about the series so far.
Yeah, it's
by the way,
Todd
McLellan. I got to give you the update. Todd McLellan is now the head coach of the, drum roll please, the Edmonton Oilers.
Okay. Ah, there it is.
So he went from like sunny San Jose to where he might have to get a little fur coat or something like that in Edmonton.
To the Great White North.
Yep. Hey, I think it's honestly, I think it's a pretty good hire there. I mean, again, I told you what I think the problem is in Edmonton. I mean, now that I'll repeat myself. You got a bunch of guys that were great players and great Stanley Cup winners that were running that organization that have done a horrible job. Let's call it what it is. Kevin Lowe, you suck as a general manager and a president or whatever you are, and so does Craig McTavish. So is your scouting staff. I remember they used to have Steve Tambellini, the Islander centerman, there for a while. I mean, I don't know if he's there anymore, but they've done a terrible job. Great players. I'm not going to take anything away from them, you know, but. As management, please.
You know what? Shame on me, because I could have found this an hour ago. Coach is on the move.
You know what? Me, the electronic novice here, I just walked over to my computer in like 2 seconds. So just want to show you up a little bit there, big boy.
Yeah, I got the whole list. The Flyers hired the college high school.
Your problem is your problem is you got to go to those super duper sites and stuff like that, like the Hockey News and all that crap. I just punched in the name McLellan, and it came up right away.
Yeah, well,
that's
some
it.
Of us are
McLellan Hockey, Hockey. That's all I had to do.
Oh boy, that's some good stuff right there. Well, you know what? Sometimes you getting a little, your hands dirty is very helpful.
That's 4 changes so far that we know of in the NHL. So,
yeah, Edmonton. Yep, there it is. You know, and I'm looking around. I'm like, where the hell did he go? The Devils still haven't hired a coach.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless they're going to stay with, who's back there, Adam Oates, and who else was helping him out?
Scotty Stevens.
I think Adam Oates is going to get that job, if nothing else. All right, let's talk statistics. I mean, obviously this Anaheim-Chicago thing has been crazy. They've had a double overtime, a triple overtime, a single overtime. These teams have played all out, Cops, and, you know, Getzlaff and Perry, I tell you what, I really didn't realize the little bit of the aggravator Corey Perry can be, boy. I tell you what, he really thrives on trying to get under the skin of the opponent. And I'll tell you the other thing, you know, they did a piece on it, and I didn't realize it, but if you look game after game after game after game, They are trying to drive Crawford nuts. They bump him every chance, slash him, kick his stick, whatever they can do. They do whatever they can do to just try to get under Crawford's skin. And
I agree with you.
It's quite the series, and I got to tell you, man, a lot of people have, you know, made this statement. I don't know, man. No matter who comes out of the East, whoever they play in the West, it's going to be no freaking picnic, man. These are the top four teams for a reason. And I tell you what, both these series have really mirrored themselves in so many facets. You know, nobody really seems to have grabbed the momentum in either one of these series and really taken off. Nobody in either one of these series have shown any, you know, in a specific game there might be dominance, but through the series there hasn't been, you know, very dominant players and stuff. I have to say though, Patrick Kane, is this kid something else or what, man?
Well, he's finally. You and I talked about this last year. We talked about it years ago. He was just an immature guy with a lot of skill. You know, he's finally.
Yeah.
I think, you know, over the last 3 years, he's finally realized that with this skill, you know, I need to mature. You know, as a, not just a hockey player, as a person, and understand that, you know, my great talents and all that stuff can go a long way as to being one of the best players in the world, not just in the National Hockey League. And
right.
I think it's finally clicked in with him, and it shows. I mean, yeah, you know, there's, you know, he's not a perfect player because obviously he's not big, you know, and he does shy away from the physical stuff, but he's, you know, he's a hard guy to catch. He's a hard guy to hit. He's got good moves, good skater, and, you know, he's got a pretty good, you know, dead-eye shot, though, when he's got a clean attempt on goal, so... Yeah, I mean, he'd be a guy that, you know, even us old and defensemen would have to worry about if he was coming down on you one-on-one, and you'd kind of be whistling for a little help, you know, a little help on the guy. But I want to get back to what you said about them going after Crawford a little bit. You think that might be because of that Jeff Bookaboom like Michael Roosevelt not being in the lineup? No, I'm just kidding. But really, when you look at the Chicago defense overall, okay, there's a lot of talent there, obviously, with Seabrook and Keith and Aduya and all these guys and Jarmelson, who's a really, really good player. But outside the New York Rangers, I would say they're probably the second least intimidating physical D in the league.
Mm.
Plenty of skill, though. So that's probably why Anaheim's allowed to do what it wants to do out there, Paulie. They're a big team up front. And just, you know, these are the things I watch. They're not a real physical set of six defensemen back there for Chicago at all. Trust me. They're not really physical
right.
at all. So that's why a guy like
right.
Corey Perry, who's a pretty big guy himself, can do what he wants. You know, he's a little bit of an agitator, but I'd like to see him in a Ranger jersey, wouldn't you?
Oh, hell yeah.
You know?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But that's all. I just wanted to throw that in there because I think Michael Roosevelt's out of the lineup, and that's why that Anaheim's taking advantage of the physicality in front of the net.
You know what's funny,
Rosie, you were good with the Rangers. I will give you that. You were okay.
He was. A lot of people, I think, say I liked him. But you know what's funny? I just want you to know this. As I do some searching and looking around and some of the articles that I pull up online and stuff or whatever, I just want you to know that everywhere that I've looked so far, it has listed Babcock, Bosma, DeBoer, Haskell, and McLennan. It tells you where they went. And I'm over here trying to search and find it, and I'm looking around. This is the third site I've gone to where it's like, which new coach will have the most long-term success? And it's just pretty funny because, you know, it's like anything else in life, man. You know, when you realize something, and then it seems to just be in front of you all over the place. But anyway,
well, you know, it's funny that you and I forgot. We talked about Babcock last week, but he's basically the big catch. He's the big free agent catch this year out of the coaching staff. Think about it.
Big money.
Huge.
Hey, and talk about recycling. I'll tell you, one guy who didn't get recycled was John Tortorella. I just have to throw that in there.
You know what, though, big boy? He's still got a Stanley Cooper, so he can stick that ring right in your shiny face one day and go, what you got?
Oh, boy. Still didn't get recycled. That's all I have to say about that one.
He actually is. He has been recycled, though. He's doing, I think he's in studio now, either at ESPN or TSN. covering the games.
Oh boy.
And he has been talking about our beloved Rangers too, so
You know what though, Cots, bouncing back into the series though, I think Anderson has been very shaky at times. He was good in the two previous series, but against these Chicago Blackhawks, I think they're a little bit in his head. He's been shaky. Go ahead.
Yeah, last game he didn't look very good. I think on the last few goals, and he looked like it on the bench when they pulled him, with the goal of the sixth man, empty net, whatever, and. I don't know. I think he's done a pretty good job, Paulie, in the first, like you said, the first few rounds. But, again, you're playing against a team that's won two Stanley Cups out of the 3 years, Paulie. So there's no shame in that. I mean,
right.
I kind of warned you at the beginning of the playoffs. Everybody's writing Chicago off, and I was kind of leaning that way, and I started thinking about it. You can't write this team off. It's the same guys.
Right.
It's the same guys that they had 3 years ago that are pulling the weight on this team.
Right.
They got rid of a Stanley Cup goaltender after the first one, remember?
Yep. Who was that? Was it Halak?
We don't need you. Get out of here. know what I'm saying?
I don't
think there's any shame in how Anderson's played, to be honest with you. Yeah, has he let in a few bad goals? So's the Chicago goaltender. So's Lundqvist. So's Ben Bishop. You know what I mean? They've all crapped a bit on a couple of goals. But it's about now. It means nothing. It's all coming down to a seventh game between Anderson and Crawford. And like I always tell you, starts with your goaltending. Bottom line.
Yeah. Check this out. Chicago in this series, shot attempts per game, they're second. 62.2. That's pretty crazy, man.
Well, yeah.
Their average shot attempts per game. That's pretty cool.
Well, it's a matter of getting the shots on goal because the NHL today blocks shots more than they ever have the last 5 years, I think, in the history of the game.
Right.
I mean,
right. Yeah.
Guys block shots. Everybody's supposed to block a shot now, where when I played, it was basically up to your defenseman and penalty killers only,
Yeah.
But everybody's supposed to do it now. If you're out there and a guy's winding up and you're in the line, lane, there's no more, we used to call it the flamingo, where the guy would fake like he'd do it, pick up one foot. what I mean? There's a bunch of guys who used to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, it was hilarious.
You act more like an obstacle, like, here.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I'm going to give you one leg. You better not hit it, you son of a bitch.
No, exactly. Basically, they're never really in the way. You know what I mean? But today's different. So, 62 attempts is a lot of attempts, but it's about getting the shots through to count.
Yeah. Let's see here. Shots against, shots attempts against, 53. Face-off percentage, 52%. Saves on high percentage shots.
Oh, here we go with the. See, now you're really. You know what? You're starting to sound like an analytic guy.
I like some of these numbers. I'm not going to lie to you. I really do.
Okay.
I know. You're right.
You know what?
You're right.
You know what? What, big boy? You keep talking. I'm going to the fridge to get a beer. Okay.
Oh. 891. All right. I'll move past it.
I'll just put the phone down. When you stop talking, I'll come right back.
I do find some of those numbers very intriguing. I'm not going to lie. All right. Well, they play. They gather together Saturday night there, big boy. What's your prediction? Who's got this thing? It's going to be in Anaheim, obviously. How do you predict this game? Do you predict low score and high score? And who's winning this thing? What do you think?
Oh, boy. Now, honestly, I'm leaning Chicago.
Right.
I've been hanging with him all along. I mean, but you know, there's so much at stake here for, I think, the Anaheim Mighty, or not Mighty Ducks, the Ducks, because if they lose this game, Paulie, think about the choke label that they're going to have. They're going to have a choke labeled on them like you won't believe, because they choked it away last year. They've choked it away in previous years. I'm going to stick with Chicago. I don't know. Somehow I don't think they're going to play as wide open a game. I think it's going to be a tighter game, honestly. I don't think it's going to be a 5-2 score or 6-2 score or anything like that. I think it's going to be like 3-2, you know, something like that. 3-1, 2-1, something like that type of game. But if I knew that, Paulie, if I knew that's the way it's really going to be, I'd get you to wire me all your pennies and everything else up there, and I'd make a bet in Vegas right now.
If Anaheim's to win this series, what are they going to do right tomorrow night?
Anaheim, well, obviously, they do have a pretty good crowd there. It's pretty loud there, believe it or not. I didn't think it was that loud there, but hey, listen, they're a big team. They're a good skating team. There's really nothing they got to change as far as I'm concerned. I mean, they're a big, strong club. I mean, you got to rely on your beef there, Maroon, Perry, Getzlaff, your defenseman Fowler, and, you know, guys like that. These guys contribute. Bolesky or what's his name there on the up on the left wing, and then you got some pretty good puck carrying defensemen on this team too. So I think they're gonna, you know, Stoner's been really hitting a lot of guys, playing very physical. I don't think they're gonna change much, Paulie. I think what they're gonna do is they're gonna hit everything they can, and they're just gonna try and pressure Chicago into breaking down in their own zone and use their size. That's what I think is gonna happen. If Anaheim wants to win this game, they really have to just play the way they played all year when they've been their best and not change anything.
Right.
Chicago, Chicago, I don't know what – it's just real quick. Chicago, again, you know, you got to get good goaltending out of Crawford, and you got to play smart tomorrow. You have the skill to play with any team in the league, but they don't have the size. You know, other than Bickle and other than a guy like Shaw, there's not much physicality out there on the Chicago Blackhawks team, okay?
Right.
They take more hits than they give, kind of like another team we know. But you know what? That's not even happening lately. Actually, the Rangers are hitting more than Chicago does, so we'll get into that later. I think Chicago's just got to like get through the first 10 minutes of the game and then let things settle down.
Right. And
see if my old partner Joel Quenneville can pull another rabbit out of his, you know what? Because he's done a pretty good coaching job with his team. He's done a good coaching job with his team, benching Vermette, bringing him in, pulling goaltenders when, you know, most people thought he wouldn't and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, throwing out, you know, he took Timonen out of the lineup the other night and brought in Rundblad again, who struggled in one of his only a few appearances out there. So Joel's been pressing the right buttons. There's no question about it.
Right. Before we get into the Rangers Lightning series and things like that, let's just say that the Rangers come out of this series and are waiting to play in the Stanley Cup. As a Ranger fan, who would you feel would be the better matchup for the New York Rangers?
I said it a little while ago, and I've said it on this show. I think it would be Chicago.
So you would rather...
People think I'm nuts. Yes. Chicago has more talent up front, more talent than the Rangers up front, no question about it. And their defense technically is probably just as good or better talent-wise.
Right.
But I think the Rangers have an edge in goal, which is pretty hard to say, but it's the truth in my mind.
Right.
And Rangers like to skate. Chicago likes to skate. And they played each other this year, what, how many times? Twice, and I think the Rangers won both games. They were close games.
Yeah.
But it goes to show you that's pretty good comparison by both teams. I mean, I don't know. I think they'd be better off playing Chicago.
Interesting. Yeah. All right.
Let's move on. It is now 9:05, and we got about 25 minutes to kill. Let's talk about the New York Rangers.
Before we do that, I do want to bring up the fact that the grand poobah of the NHL did say this week that the salary cap might go up to $71 million, which is either a five or I can't remember what it is now, $66 million, I think. Should I go over to the computer, or you'll be looking all day on it?
Oh, boy.
I think it's $66 million. I think it's $66 million as of right now. It's going to go up to $71 million, which may actually help a few teams out when you really think about it. Teams that are, stuck in that situation where your team's basically in the middle of the road, but you might need to sign a player or two, you know?
You know what I haven't seen much of, Cots? I haven't seen much of the statistics about how well the viewing audiences are in the Final Four here with the NHL. And usually year after year, it's like, oh, the numbers have been great. And I haven't heard much. I haven't seen much. There hasn't been talk much.
Have you typed it in on the computer yet? I don't know, Paul, because I don't know how many people actually have NBC Sports Network, you know?
Right.
When you think about it, when it comes down to the Final Four, it's either been NBC nightly on the weekends, and then it's on the NBC Sports channel. Where in the past, I don't know how it worked in the past, but we had three different channels doing it, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, you're right. I haven't heard anything either. But I think the NHL will secretly, but not publicly, are probably crossing their fingers for a Chicago-New York series. Because if it's an Anaheim-Tampa series, rut-row.
Yeah.
For television ratings? Uh-oh.
Yeah, you're going to lose a lot of watchers.
Oh, boy.
A lot of viewers.
I'll watch it because we're hockey fans, but boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to probably lose at least, half to a third of your audience.
Yeah. I would agree.
Come on, Chicago, New York, Stanley Cup Final? My God, the original six teams.
Yeah, you'll have crazy TV ratings there with viewers, no doubt about it.
And you won't be able to touch tickets for less than $1,000 a seat for those games. Watch.
Yeah. Speaking of which, let's get into this series. I will say, I live in Tampa. This has been a difficult time for me. I want you to know. First of all, as the true Ranger fan that I am, turned down club seats twice in this series. Been very hard, but I had to do it. We discussed it, and I thought about it. And when was it? Last Friday night, I believe it was what? Game four?
Mm-hmm.
Might have been game four. I turned down tickets for all expenses paid. It was very nice, but I had to turn them down because I said, I can't do it, man. I can't go with this feeling of a jinx inside of me because of my record anytime the Rangers play Tampa, anytime that I've gone. I've seen one victory. I believe it was a 2-0 game, and that was probably 3 years ago. So I just don't go. I don't go. And I tell you throughout the course of the year, I could have went, But when it comes to the Rangers, I don't go. And you're like, well, you should go because if they're going to play, then you're going to get tickets. And anyway, long story short, twice in this series, I could have saw my blue shirts, and I didn't go. So I deserve like the Ranger Fan Award for the year or something, I think. But, gosh, being here in Tampa, I will say this. It's not like a big market like
you know, New York and Chicago, like we talked. And
oh.
I mean, I've made my life here, and when it comes to hockey, it's funny because a lot of the fans here are just, they're bandwagon fans, and
they're fair weather fans.
It becomes a difficult battle for someone who is a diehard New York Ranger fan to play this team and to have this series go seven. It's funny, every time the Lightning won, I heard something from somebody, and I'm not talking about just people here. I'm talking about the media. They have I think it's called the Sports Animal here that I listen to once in a while. And I have to tell you, Cots, on this level, you know, I've listened to a lot of post-game interviews, and I have to tell you that the garbage and the analysis is so arrogant. It's just like, okay, you do realize you're playing the New York Rangers, you know, and it's just, there's no acknowledgement for what the Rangers did this year. There's no acknowledgement for the times that they've beat this team in the series. There's no acknowledgement for it at all. It's all about how Tampa's a better team. And for someone who lives here, it gets to the point where, you know, I've heard AV say nothing but the politically correct things. Listen, they're a good team. They're a fast team. We're going to compete hard. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Everything that I've heard here is, you know, what's his name? The lawyer. What's his Cooper. You know, we don't plan on buying a plane. We don't plan on buying tickets to go on a plane. And you know, we let them do this and we let them do that. And I got to tell you, man, I really hope for my sake the Rangers take this series. But let's talk hockey.
Well, let me say something about that real quick.
Go ahead.
Got to remember where you are, Polly. You got to remember where you are. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You've lived there a long time. Tampa doesn't sell out regular season games like the New York Rangers do.
Right.
Okay? And as arrogant and as BS as it sounds coming out of what you're telling me, what's coming out of there, like locally, media-wise, radio-wise, television-wise, newspaper, whatever, I understand that because they're trying to draw fans into the game.
Right.
Now, is it the right way to do it? Is it the wrong way to do it? Time will tell. You know what I mean? But
right.
I do understand it because it's a market that's, you know, it's not on shaky grounds, obviously, but it's not on, like, you know, they're not doing cartwheels every year. They're about their final net and how much they take. You know what I mean?
right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why they're doing that. And I will say this, that Cooper, he's obviously a pretty good coach, but he's a little bit of an arrogant prick, kind of like somebody you know. Oh. Well, he is. I've listened to some
arrogant
of his interviews and stuff. Like, he's got a little arrogance around him.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't mind that. As long as you're winning and doing the job, it's good. I'm all good with that.
Right.
But anyhow, about the series, go ahead.
He's a little cocky, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, where do you start? Let's start in that. Henrik Lundqvist. This guy, man, come on. This guy is the man. Hank is just, you know, it's why I get all piped up, boy, when anybody wants to talk about why this team doesn't and they want to try to put it on the shoulders of Henrik Lundqvist. I don't know why, but it makes me nuts, because if there's one constant on this team, it's that man in the net, man. Yeah, like, you know, like we've discussed, has he let up a goal that he should have gotten? Absolutely. But what goaltender doesn't? When this guy is on the brink, when this team's up against the wall, when it matters the most, I don't care what anybody says, man. In today's hockey, there's no one better. There's no one better. This guy is Captain Clutch when it comes to the big game. And he's proven it time and time again. This guy has proven it time and time again. Obviously, do you need the support, offensive support? You do. But again, even in the last game, listen, the Rangers didn't absolutely break loose until, what, late in the second period, going into the third period. Third period is when Shepherd scored his goal, isn't it? Yeah. You know, Hank did a lot of – Hank made key saves on guys like Stamkos and Kovalchuk and Palat.
Love save in the first period.
I mean, you know, this guy – that is my one fever pitch button. When people feel like they can say that Hank this or Hank that, I'm sorry, but this guy for over a decade now has been the backbone of this team, and he has proven that he can get it done in the clutch.
No, listen, absolutely. I've been telling you this for years too, Paulie, and I've been saying this to people for years, and you know, this is kind of like the Tampa situation. I was just talking about how they're trying to draw fans. Well, it's almost the same situation here with Lundqvist, that diehard Ranger fans know that Lundqvist has been the man and been, you know, the stellar guy there for how long now, that they're so used to seeing him.
Yeah.
Basically control everything for the New York Rangers. As Lundqvist grows, the team goes. That when he does have a, you know, gag type game where he's made a couple of mistakes and it cost them and they lost the game, people are quickly to point at him going, well, you know, Lundqvist had to play better. You know, they lost 2-1, but if Lundqvist had to play better in that last goal. So I think sometimes we... Well, you know what I'm saying. The fans get a little spoiled.
Yes.
About how
great
he's been, that when he does have a...
When he is normal.
Game, and they kind of, like, want to blame it on him instead of, like, the players around him or something like that. Now, that's not to say that, he I think he'll be the first to admit it. That overtime goal he gave up in Tampa was pretty shitty. You know it. I know it.
Yeah.
And he knows it. You know, but he bounced back from that, is what I'm trying to say. He's bounced back from everything that's happened in his career as a New York Ranger. And he's proved that the last two games. And, you know, but there's always going to be that small percentage of media, fans, and they're diehard Ranger fans that will never like the guy for some reason. Kind of like, you know, I'll admit it, like me, I'll never like Alex Ovechkin. Doesn't matter. He could be wearing the New York Rangers uniform next year, and if you think I'm going to change my colors on him, you're out of your mind. Okay? You just are. I mean, that's just the way I am. And that's the way some people are with certain players. But, I don't think you could have said it any better, Paulie. The only negative, and it's not really a negative, because there's a hell of a lot more people that don't have a Stanley Cup ring, including me, that played in the NHL. Than there is that have them, okay? But Lunk, you're right. I think in all the clutch playoff games series that Lundqvist has been a part of, more often than not, he's come through.
Right.
You know, than any other goaltender, I think. Guys have been great. They win a Stanley Cup, and then you don't see them, hear from them again. You know what I mean? Lundqvist, unfortunately, doesn't have that Stanley Cup to really solidify his king stature. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's when people will pick on him. But I'm total agreement with you. I mean, without this guy, it goes back to like a couple of years ago. I always keep telling you, I know you, blah, 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 blah. But remember a couple of years ago, when if it wasn't for Lundqvist stole 20 games the year they won the East a couple of years ago, remember? He stole 20 games that year for the New York Rangers by himself.
That's
40 points, people.
Yeah.
And yet people were still picking on him then, you know, in the playoffs. So, Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you totally on that.
No doubt. Let's move out of the Nets. Let's flip sides to Nets. Bishop, Tampa Bay, Ben Bishop. That's the guy's been good, and the guy's been not so good. I think there has been times where I think the Rangers have exploited him, and it's usually when I think prototypical of. I mean, the Rangers put up 7 goals the other night. So there's been a lot of high-scoring goals games in this series, but 7 goals, 6 against goaltending there. But, Gotts, I mean, this Ben Bishop is a big, big guy, and, you know, I know you joke around, you say, you know, he's sumo wrestlers and stuff like that, but I think the Rangers have found the areas where he's definitely more susceptible of being beaten. Because obviously everybody has a book on goaltending especially. And the goaltenders have books on, you know, specific shooters and players. But this guy seems to be beat. He's not great going side to side. And he seems to struggle. I noticed the Rangers have exploited his blocker side quite often when they seem to repeatedly score goals on him. What's your thoughts on Ben Bishop and the series so far?
Well, I got a few thoughts on him. He's not a bad goaltender. Let's get that straight right off the bat. He's pretty good goaltender. I mean, take a look at the numbers that they had this year as a team. You know, he's part of that too. But, you know, that being said, he's a monster in the net. He's like I was joking with somebody on Facebook after, you know, a couple games in the series, but there's an old B film called Monster Pid or Blancus or whatever. It's just a gargantuan monster looking guy, and that's what he looks like when you're facing him. I mean, it's kind of like how I kind of got after you last week when you were kind of giving it to Nash about, oh, he could have scored a clutch goal on a breakaway, could have this. And you know, you're right. You're not wrong, but I haven't seen anybody score on him straight away. You know what I mean? Because he's so damn big, he takes up so much of the net that if you think you're just going to score on him cleanly on a breakaway, like with ease, you're out of your mind. So what the Rangers have done, I agree with you now. You take a look at most of the goals that they scored the other night. How many of them were like below a foot high? I'd say 5 of them. You know, Rick Nash's power play goal off the rebound, through the legs. Shepard, same thing. You know, going low. I mean, it hit his body, but he banged it off the pad. You know, where he's susceptible to giving up good chances, is Rangers are starting to figure it out. You got to keep the shots low on him. Make him use his pads. He's so tall that he can't get down there and grab him with his gloves and block her all the time. Get rebounds on this guy, and that's what's working for them right now. Low shots. Make him move. Make him actually move, because if you're going to try and beat him high all the time, I like his chances, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? You got to get him to move. You got to get him to hit the ice where the pads are spread out somewhere, and he can't push off that one skate to slide to the other side because he's such a big guy. I don't think he has that ability like a Lundqvist does. You know what I mean? Where you can push real quick to the other side of the net. I think that you have to lie on this guy in traffic from that. Take a look at the goal on the power play by Yandel that deflected off of somebody and went into the net. If you look in front of the net, I think it was Rick Nash standing there, and he couldn't even see it. You know what I mean? But if you're going to just breakaway on this guy, I'm going to bet you right now he'll stop 9 out of 10 people on breakaway because he's just too damn big.
Yeah.
He's too big. He's just way too big. He takes up a lot of net. It looks easy on TV, and we get a little excited sometimes, you know, about, oh, here we go. He's got a breakaway. He got a shot, you know. Got a chance of scoring here and being a hero. Well, that's great if you got a normal-sized goaltender in there. I'd like to stick a dummy of his size, okay, in a net like they have at the hockey house at Ranger at MSG, and give you a puck, give you a stick, and from 20 feet out, he ain't gonna move because it's with me. He ain't gonna move. You won't believe how little net there is, Holly.
Right.
You would not believe how little net there is.
You can't see much net. Yep. No, I agree.
No.
I agree.
No, that's why the Rangers have to rely on traffic and rebounds and keep your shots low.
Rebounds.
And they've
absolutely
done that. And they've done that.
Rebounds, rebounds, and more rebounds. I think that's the way they get it done here, and I think that's the way you get it done in the future as well. I mean, no doubt about it. All right. Where do we start? I mean, the good, the bad, and the ugly all throughout this series, like I said, it's been up and down. It's been in, it's out. You know, both teams have showed lots of high-flying goals. And, you know, it seems like when one team wins, they really win. Tots, let's talk about not so much the play of the past, but play of the future here. I mean, Broussard was a beast the other night. Henrik was great, obviously. Rick Nash, I do want to cover this because the last show that we had, it was now two games ago. You know, I called him out. I called him out. I was disappointed, and I have to say, and I told you, you know, the last two games, Rick Nash is who the Rick Nash I've expected to see throughout the playoffs, and I think hopefully he's shaking a lot of the demons. But I mean, the numbers are there, and you know, I'm not the only one talking about it. I mean, you know, the statistics don't lie. The guy's been in X amount of games and he's got, what, 9 total goals. And, you know, it's just the production wasn't there. But I will say these last two games, the breakaway goal and just bringing it to the net, making more of an effort to get there, I thought he was great on when he was back checking, I think it was Killorn, he winds up stealing the puck and just, you know, physically out muscled. And I thought it was Killorn that was on the puck, winds up getting a dish over. And then that was the.
It was on Colbert.
He stole the puck from Colbert.
And then he passed it back to JT Miller, who slid it over to a wide open empty net there where Broussard was in there. But Paulie, he's been doing that the whole series. The problem is he hasn't scored at the times that everybody feels he should be scoring. And that goes back to the Lundqvist story. You know, you're kind of used to this guy because he's been carrying you all year, scoring all the goals. And all of a sudden, when they lose a game 2-1 or they lose a tight game, it's like, well, where's Rick Nash? Where's Rick Nash? I'm not worried about Rick Nash. I know you are at times, but I'm not worried about him. Okay, I understand he wasn't doing his job when it comes to the production part. I'm worried about other guys on this team. Okay, I'm worried about Mark Stahl right now. I'm worried about Kevin Klein. Klein's not the same player he was before he broke his arm. I'm worried about Chris Kreider showing up for two games and not showing up for two games and taking dumb penalties, like he did against Stamkos the other night, that cost him a goal. You know, these are the guys you got to be worried. You got to be worried about the guys that are giving up scoring chances. Okay, and Rick Nash is far from a problem. And let's call it what it is. It's Marty St. Louis. We got big worry here.
Yeah,
it's like head coach Vigneault tried everything he could do the other night when the Rangers got the big lead to get him out there to get his confidence back, and he's still couldn't get it done.
Right.
So, like, there's a few things the Rangers need to clean up right now. I mean, Mark Stahl has not been very good throughout the playoffs, I think, overall. I don't know why sometimes people say he has been. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if he's trying too hard, but he looks slow out there. He looks indecisive. And I think the numbers prove it. Like, you want to go by stats, he's, like, one of the highest minus players in the playoffs for the Rangers. I think his game's got to get better. You know, I think Kevin Klein's game's got to get better. I'm gonna say this right out now. I mean, you and I talked about it before the show started. If they win this game tomorrow night, okay, and they have a couple days off before the Stanley Cup, I think it'll probably start Tuesday or something like that. I'd have to think really, really hard if I'm head coach Alain Vigneault about if Zuccarello's ready to play sitting Marty St. Louis.
Yeah.
If I had to do that personally, I'd probably do it with like almost a tear in my eye talking to Marty, just letting him know, you know, how great he's been.
Right.
But it's just not there anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of going the way of Chris Chelios towards the end of his career in Detroit. I mean,
that's
what I see. I'm sorry. He's trying. He doesn't have the speed anymore. He doesn't have that, like, half a step on anybody anymore.
Yeah.
And that was his game from the get-go.
Yeah. You know what, Chris?
I may be jumping ahead of time, but, you know, that's the way it is.
I definitely can understand exactly what you're saying. And it would be one hell of a, you know, you say, my God, you know, the guy's been around. The guy's won a Stanley Cup. The guy's won scoring championships. The guy's been a captain. I mean, this isn't an easy bench by any means.
No.
But you look up and down the lineup, and I get it. And you say, all right, Zook's ready to come back. And Zook does have, you know, he's got some game. You look up and down the lineup and you say, who the hell is going to sit? And you look at the fourth line, which comes as a natural to any coach. Well, they've been good. They got a goal. They've been great defensively. They're taking the body. The Rangers have been physical. Don't really want to tamper with them. You know, I mean, because, you know, what's the first thing somebody's going to say? Oh, well, you know, you got to get rid of Shepherd. He's the last man out. And I don't see it that way. I think they've been good. You know, you need, first of all, time to rest your top players. And when you do that, you need guys that are going to be able to go out there, be able to forecheck, be able to keep it along the boards. I mean, Shepherd chips in with the odd goal. I'm surprised Dominic Moore hasn't scored more. I'll tell you what.
Oh, he's had opportunities.
I have become the biggest Dominic Moore fan. This guy just gives you everything he's got. And he plays in important situations. Face it, he's your best face-off man. You know, he kills penalties. He does a lot of. He's that player that every team needs. He's a utility guy who can fill many holes. And I'll tell you what, the guy's got hands too at times. So yeah, you look at that line and you don't want to touch it because they bring you an element that you don't have anywhere in the lineup. It's not like, well, you know, you got a big strong guy up on the first line, he can forecheck and score goals. It's not like that. You don't have a Winnick, you don't have a Stewart, you don't have that type of player in a different part of the lineup. So you can't go there. I think we talked about Hagelin, but Hagelin's speed has just, you know, it makes a difference. And I wouldn't bench Hagelin for Marty St. Louis because, like you said, Marty St. Louis is just a step behind. So what do? You look up and down the lineup and you got to bench the guy. And you hate to do it because you think of his pedigree and who he is. But at the end of the day, he's your weakest link right now.
I agree. And you know what though, Paulie? I think you and I we're going to stop that right now because let's face it, they have to win the game tomorrow before anything like that to happen. So I'm going to hit you with this one now. What do you think happens tomorrow, and what do you think the Rangers need to do tomorrow?
Well, wow. I think the Rangers
have
to play.
I'll put you on the spot now.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, I think the Rangers have to play with the same as they did in Game 6. Your back's against the wall. You got to go balls. I thought they were good. I thought they dominated most of the game. I thought they took a lot of the play to Tampa Bay. But... I like when they play a little bit
more of a defensive style against Tampa. I liked the adjustments that they made, and they need to continue because they think it's a formula of success. They've stood Tampa Bay up on the blue line as much as possible with, you know, by committee pretty much. They're standing around in the neutral zone. They usually got one guy forechecking in deep, the other guy's high. So I don't know if you want to call it a 2-1-2 or whatever you want to call it, but you can't allow Tampa speed because they will burn you. And I truly believe that. And I think the Rangers are more accustomed to winning those 2-1, 2, you know, 1-0 type games. I think that favors the Rangers. And then, you know, once Tampa tries to open up, the Rangers prove that they'll make you pay. What they did in the third period in that game was they were relentless on the forecheck, and the more they were, the more Tampa coughed up the puck because they were trying to do too much, and bang, 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 and the next thing you know, the Rangers are taking 3 and 4 goal late game leads. I think the Rangers need to come out in the first period like they're on fire. I'd like to see the forecheck. I think the Rangers can get the first goal in this thing. It's going to dictate a lot on where the game's going to go. But, yeah, I think first 10 minutes, the Rangers got to bring it. And I think they need to play smart in the neutral zone. And I think Hank can carry the load. Obviously, stay out of the box for anything stupid. And I think the Rangers can repeat what they've done in other series before this. I mean, you think of the Pittsburgh series. Every game was 2-1. The Rangers are favored in that kind of circumstance, you know?
Yeah.
And I think in the two big goal-scoring games that they had against Tampa, you know, it didn't get that way until later on because Tampa was making more and more mistakes. And the more mistakes they made because they were trying to pressure and get even and all those types of things is where the Rangers can really exploit them because the Rangers score by committee. And if you can open it up a little bit there, and I think we're in good shape. But I think it all hangs, unfortunately, on the game that Hank's going to have because you know Tampa, you know this goal-scoring prowess that Tampa Bay has. They got a lot of guys who can beat you one-on-one, so going to have to play smart. I think they're going to have to stand up in the, you know, a little bit in the neutral zone. Definitely don't give Tampa the line with speed and capitalize on every opportunity. And you know, I think it favors them. I think we're going to have a 2-1 game, a 3-2 game.
Well, I'm going to make it a little more simpler. You made a lot of great points there. I think that's basically what they've done, but obviously it all revolves around the king, Henrik Lundqvist. He has to be at his best tomorrow, bottom line. That's number one. Number two, they have to score first in my mind. It's not a be-all, end-all, but I would like to see them score first. And number three, just stay out of the penalty box. No stupid penalties. No stupid penalties at all. Don't give Tampa a chance on the power play because you know, their power play may not be clicking 100% like it was at times throughout this series or previous ones, but it's still pretty damn dangerous. And yeah. I don't want to give them any freebies. No freebies at all. You know what I mean? No freebie shots at all. No freebie chances. And just play. You know, every player's got to understand. I mean, they've been here before. They know that they're one step away from the Stanley Cup. The majority of this team is still here from last year. You know what I mean? Right. They know what it takes. So, I expect nothing less than them leaving it all out on the ice tomorrow night. And those are my three key points right there: Lundqvist scoring first, and stay out of the penalty box. That's the bottom line
for
me.
I will say this: the Garden crowd make us proud. And the other thing I have to say is, there's one thing about Ranger fans. This is amazing, though. You know, I will say this. Here in Tampa, a lot of Ranger fans in the building. A lot of Henrik chants. A lot of "Let's go Rangers." That says so much. It really, really, really does, man. I mean, people spend their hard-earned money. They follow this team. I'm telling you right now, you were heard. Ranger fans were heard in that arena. I heard you on the TV. I heard all about it.
You know, it was a lot of red, white, and blue in that stadium, and the Henrik chants and the Let's Go Ranger chants, you know, that's pretty impressive. So make the Garden loud and proud tomorrow, New York Ranger fans, and hopefully we'll be visiting another run at the Stanley Cup come next week. It'll be pretty exciting.
Yeah. No question about it. You know.
Other than that, yeah, Kotz, I think the first goal is a great point. You know, I said it too. The Rangers play a little different when they have the first goal. They just seem a little bit bigger when they have the first goal. And then we'll see what happens. Listen, Tampa Bay is a good team, and they could score goals. But they've also have a lot of weaknesses that through this series have been exploited, and I think the Rangers, like you said, with the experience, have seen that. And I give the Rangers, I really do, in my heart, not just in my heart, but in my mind and with my hockey, with my hockey IQ, I really do give the Rangers the edge in this thing for a lot of different reasons. The Rangers have been there. They've done this. Hank, experience. You know, this is our second big run in 2 years. I mean, I'm hoping they could pull this thing off because God knows, you know, I don't know how much is left, Kotze, moving forward after this, where this team is gonna, where this team's gonna win a Stanley Cup. The final thing I do want to bring up before we get out of here, Kotze, is I will say this has been Keith Yandel's best series. The guy finally looks like, I know we covered on this last show, but the guy finally looks like he's playing with a little confidence, and that's important. That's very important.
Yeah, well, I kind of told you. On the last show, and I don't think I'm going to change my mind on it. He came from a situation where you're not really, under the microscope like you are in a big city like New York or Toronto or Chicago or Montreal, when it comes to hockey. So I think he struggled early. He struggled mightily, too, at times. But, he's a young guy still, Paul. He's only, 28 or something like that? So the future's still way ahead of him. He's got a lot of good left in him. And he's played well, I think, this series, and hopefully it continues. And they're going to need him tomorrow night. They're going to need everybody, bottom line. Everybody has to pull their weight. Everybody's got a job to do, an individual job to do, how they play and what they're supposed to do when they're out there. So you can't take a deep breath and take a second off or anything like that. You got to know what's going on. You got to be alert tomorrow night. That's the thing about playoff hockey. That split second that you're not alert is can come back to bite you in the ass. So when you're out in that ice, you got to be 100% focused on what you're doing.
Right.
That's it. That's all I got. Looking forward to watching it.
All right. Well, for Kotze and myself, it's always a pleasure to bring you the Instigators Hockey Show next week. Kotze and everybody else, I don't know what's going to happen. There's a great possibility I'm going to be out of town next week. So, I don't know what we're going to do, but I'll let you know, Chris, and then we'll figure out a show time. All right. For everything else, we thank you for listening, and we will catch you again real soon. Good night.
Hey, guys. This is Paulie D with the Instigators Hockey Show with some exciting news. Now's your chance to advertise with us right here on the show. Whether it's a live read-in or a produced spot, this is the time to go top shelf and advertise with the Instigators Hockey Show. For more information, please email us at theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. That's theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. And drop the gloves on the competition.